I want to begin with prayer. God, I pray for extra grace as I endeavor to open your word. Help me to make your word clear and understandable and to apply it practically in a way that we can all relate to. Amen. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh are manifest. Manifest is a big word that simply means made visible. Turn the light on, everything in the room has become manifest. Made visible. And this verse ends by saying that if you do these things, if you do the things in this list, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I think it's very plain. He says, if you do these things, you're not a Christian. You're not going to heaven. And then some of the things you find in this list are quite shocking. Shocking that they would be in this list. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. And what's shocking about this is these are things that we all too often think of as not good, but almost acceptable. We all know, we expected murder to be in this list. But variance simply means being disagreeable. You say one thing and I have to immediately disagree with you. Whatever you say, I have to say something different. Variance, that's in this list. That's what's shocking. That just simply being a disagreeable person is the works of the flesh. And God says, if you do these things, you're not a Christian. Being disagreeable is a sin worthy to be punished by God. And on the outset, we need to look into our hearts and ask ourselves, do I know how holy God is? Do I understand the holiness of God? But then on the other hand, lest we get off balance, we need to also realize that this verse does not say, if you struggle with any of these things, you're not saved. It says, if you do these things. We read elsewhere in 1 John 1:9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if I tried to tell you that I never struggled with anything in the list in Galatians 5, I would essentially be saying that I was perfect and had no sin, and then the Bible would turn around and tell me in 1 John 1:8 that I was deceiving myself. We have to make these things fit together, and we have to understand that this list in Galatians 5 does not say that if you struggle with any of these things, you're not saved. The implication of what is said here is if this is your lifestyle, if this is the way you live, if this is what the beginning is manifested from your life, then you're not saved. And I start with this as a foundation because I'm talking to Christians here this morning. And I'm going to take one of these things in this list, one of these things that seems on the outset that it shouldn't be in this list. But I'm going to take one of these things and I'm going to talk about it. And I believe that every person here, if you are honest, is going to have to admit that you fall short of the standard held by just this one word in this list. Just this one word, emulations. By dictionary definition, emulations is simply effort to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. Effort to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. And again, before I go further, I have to start off by again expounding that to emulate is not always a bad thing. In fact, the only other time the word emulate is used in the New Testament, it's used as a good thing. We find it in Romans 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." In this passage, Paul is saying that he hopes the Jews will see the Gentiles converting and will be provoked to emulate them. Maybe we could say inspired to copy them, that they might also be saved. So the word emulate can refer to either good and bad things, and I'll cover more of that later. But this is just, I want to open up a couple Greek words here to show you that this is not something that was created in the translation, because the Greek has the same issue. In the Greek word that was translated emulate in Galatians 5 was used 17 times in the New Testament and was used both ways. Just like our word emulate is used both for positive and good emulations, the Greek word was the same. The Greek word is translated emulation, envy, but then it's also translated fervent mind, indignation, and zeal, along with jealousy. So we find both, the words are very good synonyms from the Greek to the English. It's a very good translation. And again, the significance of me digging into the Greek here is just to show that this is not a problem we have with the English translation. The same thing was in the Greek. And that being the case, we have to turn to the rest of Scripture to find out what kind of emulations are right and what kind are wrong. So again, the definition is effort to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. So, if you men are trying to be stronger, more handsome than everybody else, you ladies are trying to be more beautiful than everybody else, on the outset, it might actually not look like that, too bad of a pursuit until the pursuit fails. When you conclude in your own mind that you have failed in this pursuit of being better or stronger than somebody else, what emotion is going to rise up in your heart? That's right, you got it. Envy. When you try to copy somebody, you can't. Then envy is what rises up in your heart. You try to be as funny as so-and-so, and you can't be, so you envy him. You try to be as beautiful as so-and-so, and you can't be, so you envy her. You do push-ups every day so you can be as strong as so-and-so. And though he hasn't done one in years, you find he's still stronger than you, and you envy him. Proverbs 14:30, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Proverbs 27:4, "Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" And then if you don't gain control of your heart at envy, what's next? Malice. If I can't pass him up, I hope he can come down. That's the definition of malice. Wishing evil on somebody else. If you don't gain control of envy, you'll find yourself wishing evil on others. And where did all this start? It simply started in the effort to match or surpass a person or achievement. So we just looked at what happened when you fail. But imagine for a moment that you're in the mix of some competition and you find yourself believing that you actually have achieved it. Then what emotion would you find? Pride. Pride is the condemnation of the devil, as we read in 1 Timothy 3:6. Pride is the sin that took Satan from being the highest angel and has made him the lowest being in existence. And we find that story of that happening in Isaiah 14. And this is really interesting because the devil's pride came in exactly the form of emulating God. We have in Isaiah 14:12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Here's the answer. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." These are the words of the devil. This is the condemnation of the devil. Through pride, he lifted himself up, trying to emulate God. The devil said, "I will be like God. I will take God's place." And that was the pride that condemned the devil and took him down from being the highest angel to the lowest being in existence. And this is interesting. It gives us the perfect contrast between good emulation and bad emulation, because we as Christians are commanded to emulate Christ. We are commanded to strive to be like him, but it would be sin if we tried to take his place. The devil was not striving to be like God in holiness and purity. He already was. He was created holy and pure. He was vying for God's position of authority. I strive daily to emulate Christ in character and actions. Joseph Smith, for example, emulated Christ by vying for the position of headship over the church. See that contrast? Where emulation can be good and emulation can be bad. Good emulations are the inspiration to obey God when you see someone else obeying God. We already mentioned Paul trying to get the Jews to emulate the Gentile believers. So there's no need to get that verse again, except I'll read a verse that comes just a few verses later, Romans 11:11, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." Same Greek word. Provoke them to jealousy. So good emulations are the inspiration to obey God when you see someone else obeying God. Bad emulations revolve around lust or pride. God can take so-and-so and make a preacher out of him? Wow. God, use me, and even use me more. Good emulations. So-and-so is a preacher, but I will be better. Bad emulations. So-and-so is a beautiful wife. God, help me to be the most beautiful wife I can be. Good emulations. Because most of us are focused on physical things, we forget that you actually can change how pretty you are. So girls don't usually set out to become more beautiful than someone else. They just skip directly to the envy step. You skipped over so quickly you didn't realize that emulations were there. That's bad emulations. So-and-so works really hard and supports his family well. God, help me to be like him. Good emulations. So-and-so is rich, but I will be richer. Bad emulations. I think you get the idea. Emulation is a root problem that will develop into either envy or arrogance. If you don't achieve your goal, it will develop into envy. You'll envy the person who is better than you. If you do achieve your goal, it will develop into arrogance and pride. God says, don't emulate each other. The only time we are to emulate each other is if it underlies the ultimate goal of emulating Christ. So I want to get practical this morning. Take this down to how it meets our everyday lives. Thus far, I've just explained the different kinds of emulation, when it's right and when it's wrong, giving you some basic examples so you can grasp the idea. But now it's time to get practical. Every person here has professed that they desire to emulate Christ by simply calling yourself a Christian. We know that envy and pride are wrong. We know that in general, emulations are wrong. But how radical are you willing to be? What is the foremost thing in your life that would multiply this struggle? Does anything come to your mind? What is the foremost thing in your life that is going to take this struggle of emulations and multiply it? Are you willing to deal with it head on? If you haven't gotten the idea, I'm talking about social media. Are you willing to deal with it head on? Your friend posted something and 47 people liked it, and now you have to post something and see if you can get 48 people to like it. All your friends are traveling around the world and posting pictures of cool places, and you've never even left the country. And you find yourself in this position where you have to keep up. You might not even really have a desire to travel except the fact that you have to keep up. One girl gets a new outfit and has to send the picture to all her friends, and instantly every person in the county with Snapchat has a bug to go clothes shopping. Emulation and competition are ingrained in the human heart. It's part of our sinful nature. And social media takes those sinful traits and inflames them. Why does the world need to know how nice your car is? Unless you're trying to impress the people who also have nice cars. Have you ever posted pictures of your house on Facebook? No, because your house is a little shack. But if you just bought a big house on a lake, now you'd post pictures of it. Those pictures would impress people. Those pictures would help you get further in this competition with the rest of the world. In just the past few years, I've heard a number of people talking about this problem. Some people call it an epidemic in Christian circles where young people are not getting married. And I have come to believe that social media is the number one cause. If you girls are going to bring a guy home to meet your family, he has to meet a certain standard, right? And that's reasonable. The same thing goes for guys. You're going to bring a girl home to meet your family. She's got to meet a certain standard. But I've noticed that all too often, the Facebook standard is raised even higher than the family standard. This man is a godly man. You like him. Your family likes him. But you'd never post a picture of him on Facebook. Certainly not with the caption, my boyfriend. So he's ruled out. You can't marry him. And the same thing goes for guys. You met this girl, and after getting to know her, you think she's adorable. But you can't take it anywhere because none of your friends on Facebook would think she's cute. It's this problem of emulation is keeping people from getting married. It's just wild. And I sure hope nobody here would be that extreme. But those things do happen, and I guarantee that if you watch your heart and watch the feelings, you're going to find this has more influence than you realized it did. I was working on Valentine's Day this year, and the radio plays at the shop. Unless the other guy leaves, then I can turn it off. But I heard playing on the radio. I thought this was interesting. This guy says, the number one mistake men are going to make tonight is they're going to spend too much time on their phones. And we all understand that it's offensive to have your face glued to your phone when you're on a date. But have you ever, and it's so obvious that we never stop to ask ourselves why. What makes that offensive? Is it not because what has your attention has your heart? What has your attention has your heart. Wives are not focusing their attention on cooking supper for their family. They're focusing their attention on cooking a fancy meal they can take a picture of. Husbands are not thinking about what car would be best usable for their family. They're thinking about what car they want to take a selfie in front of. Men are no longer thinking about what they can do for their wives to please them, as we are commanded in Scripture. They're thinking about what they can do that their wives will post on Facebook. Because we're in this competition. Wives are no longer thinking about what they can do to please their husbands. They are reading posts from their friends who are posting things about how romantic their husbands did things for them. And all these problems start with this one little word, emulate. Emulate is where all this starts. Don't worry about if your husband does as many romantic things as your friend's husbands. Why? Because God said not to. Men do it too. Don't look at all the pictures of those girls and wish your wife was that pretty. And now, don't think it's wrong for men to covet prettier girls, but it's okay for girls to covet more romantic men. No. It's all this competition. And it's all wrong. I had a man tell me once. He said, yeah, it's what it's all about. It's all about having the prettiest girl. I confronted him and I accused him of being that way. And he just outright admitted it. Yeah, that's what it's about. It's all about having the prettiest girl. Having a prettier girl than the other guys. The Bible does prescribe a pathway to beauty for girls. And it prescribes a pathway to gentleness for men. But that's not my message today. Today, I'm trying to show how great and far-reaching this problem will become when you allow room in your heart to emulate others. We call it sometimes keeping up with the Joneses. Facebook did not create this problem. The problem of emulations has been around since the fall of man. Facebook just took the amount of people the average person knows well enough to compare themselves to and multiplied it by 100. If you have 36 people that you know well enough to worry about pleasing them and keeping up with them a little bit, you probably have 360 Facebook friends, all of whom you have to impress. And in this world of impressing people, you do so by emulating the impressive. And as Christians, we are commanded to be separate from the entire rat race. And for some of you, I'm convinced Some of us, maybe I should say. I am convinced that this means getting rid of electronic devices. Alcohol is not sin. Overconsumption is sin. Cell phones are not sin. But that doesn't mean it's acceptable for you to have one in your pocket. If you find yourself competing, if you find yourself in this position of emulating others, you have to get off. And if you can't stay off your phone, smash it. If you can't smash it, I can. How radical are you willing to be? Are you willing to do what it takes to obey God in these little things? How good your Christianity is meets the real test when it comes down to these little things. Like this one little word in a list written to the Galatians 2,000 years ago where Paul says emulations are a work of the flesh. How real your Christianity is really is measured by how radical you are willing to do things about that one little word in Scripture. Of course you're willing to die as a martyr for your faith. But are you willing to get off your phone? That's where your Christianity is really tested. In these little things. Are you willing to separate yourself from the entire race? From the entire competition that mankind has been in since the fall of Adam? And say, I'm a Christian. I'm separate from that. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm not going to worry about what people think of me. I'm not going to try to keep up. I'm just going to do what's right and what God has called me to do. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this one little word that you put in Scripture for us, emulate. And I pray that every person here would take that word to heart and compare themselves to it. God, that in everything we do in life, we would rise above the struggle and the problems and the competition of the world and live by faith following Christ. God, help us to get the victory over this struggle. Help us the rest of our lives to follow Christ better, to emulate Him and not the people around us. Amen.